see you, right? Because faith is not denying. You're not denying that it's there. But when you have knowledge of a situation, you get the knowledge and the wisdom of God on that situation, and in that, God gives you wisdom from above. He gives you divine instruction, and you wave it back as it stares you in the face, and then it drives down the highway to somebody else's house because it's not stopping at your house. Amen. And I mean, lack isn't just about money. I mean, lack of joy, lack of peace. Come on, lack of time. Come on, people are tying you up. The devil will be tying you up in your business that we're spending no time with God. So let me say this again. Voices, say voices. How many of voices are talking to you? Amen. And we're in this series called Voices, Hearing God in a Cluttered World. How many of you know you can clutter your mind up with all kinds of thoughts, ideas, and suggestions? So tonight, I just want you to know this. As we look into the Word of God, we're going to see and talk about tonight some hindrances to hearing. Say hindrances. Come on, I know this is an elementary school, but how many of you know this is just the way I like to kind of teach sometimes, because I like to get you moving, whether you're in your room and your PJs online, or you're sitting at home, or you're sitting here in this building. And yes, we are meeting Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 and Tuesday night for corporate prayer. But I want to say this, that whether you're online or in person, there are hindrances sometimes to hear. Sometimes we're hearing from heaven, amen, and we need to know that's God speaking to us. How many of you know when somebody's yelling at you, how many of you know you're hearing that? And then when somebody's speaking soft to you, how many of you know you're hearing that? And how many of you know that the devil doesn't come in a red, you know, suit and a pitchfork, just be like, yelling all the time, hey, I'm here. I mean, you know, sometimes he's not dressed up at all. He has different appearances. The Bible says sometimes he shows up in many different ways. And he tries to copy, come on, God. Tries to copy what God does. And he'll even quote things sometimes that seem like, man, that's really good. And you'll be like, nah, because I'm so grounded in the Word that which comes to my mind, will, and emotions. Come on, I'm grabbing 2 Corinthians 10, right? I'm grabbing thoughts, ideas, and suggestions, and I'm bringing that through the filter of the Word of God, right? So that I not be hindered. But tonight we're going to talk about a few of these things, amen? And so here's some hindrances. How many know sometimes we need to hear what our Commander-in-Chief, the Lord Jesus Christ, is saying to us? And he's saying to the church. Would you amen that? Come on, amen means so be it. And so, if the devil can stop you from hearing the Holy Spirit's voice and direction, he now has an advantage. Come on, somebody. And how many of you know the devil, come on, along, listen, let's not put everything off on the devil, but how many of you know your flesh and an unrenewed mind can be just as much of a hindrance as the devil himself can be? Amen. Sometimes it's not even the devil, come on, because we recognize his voice and be like, you're defeated and you ain't coming in, but your body's sure screaming mighty loud at you. I know mine has at times in my life, and I've got into the wrong attitude, right? Got out of love. And how many of you know that has a voice? Amen. And you could yield to that voice. Amen. And it's a step out of love, right? And the enemy, Satan, your adversary, who's a John 10:10, loves it when we as Christians, come on, sons and daughters of God, get out of our, come on, our love walk and step on into carnal thinking and being led by our body and being a body-ruled Christian. God, you know, the devil loves that when we're agitated and frustrated and mad. And listen, we have those seasons where we have feelings and emotions, but we're not to what? Stay there. Come on, amen. And so, again, we're in our series, Voices, Hindrances to Hearing. Jesus said this statement. He said, if we seek, we will what? Find. And if we ask, it will be what? Given. So what we need to know is God wants you to hear. Come on, he wants you to hear. God is not trying to hinder you from hearing him. He wants you to hear him. Amen. So there are things that we can do. Say do. Say not do. There are things that we could do or not do to help or hurt us from hearing with our spiritual ears. We're not talking about this hearing, come on, with our natural ears. We're talking about hearing with our spiritual ear. Amen. So we must realize that the enemy's goal is to break down our communication pipeline. How many of you know Satan wants to break down between you and God and the Word of God? Come on, the Holy Spirit, Christ, the Trinity, the Godhead. Satan wants to break down that communication between you and the Father. He wants to be a hindrance. Amen. And so if you study military warfare, has anybody ever watched military movies, or you watch documentaries, or you study books, or maybe you're a historian, you like warfare? One of the key elements to a victory is to do what? Talk to me. Cut off or interrupt communications. How many of you know in warfare, if you can cut off or corrupt or hinder communication, how many of you know that's good for the enemy? He's going, yes. How many of you know our military and our intelligence in the United States of America alone is a massive group of people? How many of you know, if you look back during World War I, World War II, in these times, that there were Indians, come on, Native American people, who were used to speak their native language so that the Japanese could not, come on, break into our communications? And if you go back and study our previous wars, you'll see that there are many movies about this. Amen. And it's pretty cool how Native Americans were used to speak, and they were on different ships in different parts, in different places of the war, that they were able to speak in their native tongue. And it was so cool. The Japanese couldn't break the codes. They couldn't communicate. They couldn't understand it. It's pretty powerful. And so this is how God, this is what being baptized in the Holy Spirit is all about. Let's just throw you a little nugget there. People are like, well, I just don't know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, it's one of those ways that you can communicate with God. The enemy is just like, I don't get this language. I can't figure out what they're praying about. I don't know what they're saying. Come on, amen. So if the devil can stop you from hearing the Holy Spirit's voice, say Holy Spirit's voice. Come on, we're not talking about being weirdo Christians. We're talking about hearing the Word of God, and we're talking about God, the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Godhead, speaking to us. Amen? And so he speaks. So if the devil can stop you from hearing the Holy Spirit's voice and direction, to hear his voice and his direction. When God speaks, he not only speaks, but he's given wisdom, he's given communication, he's given direction. God doesn't just talk to us just because he's bored. He wants to have interaction with you. Amen. And so if the devil can stop you from hearing the Holy Spirit's voice and direction, he now has what? An advantage. That's what we don't want to give him. So if we cannot hear our commander-in-chief, that's a big issue as a believer. Come on, our commander-in-chief is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God our Father. Come on, the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so how does the enemy try to hinder us? Number one, I want to talk about this. We question if we're capable of even hearing. Come on. The Bible says clearly, you are my sheep. Jesus said, you're my sheep, and my sheep hear my voice. And a lot of times where we're babes in Christ, come on, I got into the Word of God, and the more I got into the Word, began to understand who I am in Christ, right, Theo? The authority I have as a believer, I began to learn some basic foundational principles of the Bible, and I never really realized that God could really speak to me. I've only heard him communicated, come on, through a pastor, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, an evangelist, you know, the Ephesians 4 ministry gifts, and through other avenues, you know. And I realized the more I begin to study the Word, I realized God speaks to me awful lot. And so I needed to ask myself these questions when I first got born again. Am I qualified? Come on, we question if we're capable of hearing from heaven. How many of you know this is a hindrance? When the Bible says you can hear from heaven, how many of you know the Bible says you can hear from heaven? God will speak to you. And you ask, am I qualified? Listen, this is a sense of unrighteousness. What did we just talk about in worship? Righteousness consciousness. Amen. How many of you know sin consciousness and awareness as a believer all the time because of an unrenewed mind? We're not in the Word of God. And so we hear sometimes even when we're in the Word of God, but we don't do what God tells us to do. And so when the Bible says, come on, you declare over your life, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Let's do that right now. Say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Come on, I have right standing with God. Come on my worst day, I'm still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Come on, somebody. But you ask yourself, man, I messed up. Am I qualified? Do I have what it takes? Come on, I've asked myself these questions. Do I have the ability to hear God's voice And many people would say, no way, you don't have that ability. But how many of you know the Bible, which is the will of God, what is 1 John 5:14 and 15 say? It said, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, come on, he heareth us. What is the will of God? It's the word of God. So if we ask anything according to his will, he what? He heareth us. If we know if he hears us, that we have the petitions that we ask of him. Amen. So hindrances, we question if we're capable. Listen, we're equipped to hear. Say, I'm equipped to hear. You're equipped to hear. You don't have to wonder if you can hear. You're equipped to hear. Listen, Genesis, if you're taking notes, 1:26 in the New Living Translation says this. It says, then God said, let me stop right there at that statement right there. When the Bible says, when God said, we need to let that sink in. Come on, God said. What did he say? He said this. Let us make human beings in our image to be what? Like us. Amen. So God created you to be like him so you can what? Communicate with him. He made you to be like him so you can what? Communicate with him. You need to grab a hold of this. You're created in his image and in his likeness. Amen. And so we know we're capable to hear him, God, because why? We're one with him. Say one with him. You're one with him. When you became born again, the life of God indwells you. Your body is the temple. Come on, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. God is not out there. He's in you. Come on, you're one with him. Romans 8:15 in the New Living Translation says this. It says, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Grab that statement. Fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. Say Abba Father. Come on. Amen. Romans 8:16 in the Message says, God's spirit touches our spirit. Isn't that powerful? God's spirit touches our spirit and confirms. Say confirms. What is a hindrance to hearing? Come on. Am I capable? We're showing you right here. Amen. God's spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who he is and we know who we are. Father and children. Come on, say it with me. Father and children. Isn't that powerful right there? I read scripture sometimes, the same passages over and over and over, just to get that in me, because my brain is trying to catch up. My spirit is receiving it. My heart is receiving it. My mind is being renewed to this thought. I'm in him. I'm capable. John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them. Go on, we quote this all the time. John 10:27, we just said that. My sheep listen to my voice and I know them. Listen, they follow me. Come on, somebody. They follow. Amen. So if you are born again and Jesus is your Lord and Shepherd, I'm telling you that you can hear his voice and know his voice. And you, what are you saying tonight? This is what I'm trying to get our church, the church, to believe. Listen, get out of fear. Come on, when things are not happening well and the earth is clamoring and the Bible, come on, all these prophecies we've been hearing for years are coming to pass and things are escalating, there is fear. And fear is a spirit and it is demonic. It is the spirit of fear and it wants to torture the believer. Any man or woman living in Christ, in him, that is doing anything for God will be persecuted. The Bible says so. But in that persecution, it's not comfortable because you have people saying things against you. You have the devil reinforcing this idea that you're not capable of hearing. Come on, this Christianity is weird stuff, man. But Jesus said, John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. So we're going from God never talks to me. From God never talks to me to what? I hear and know the voice of God, and his voice will I follow. Say that with me. Say, I hear and know the voice of God. And only his voice will I follow. Come on, that's a good confession of faith. Every morning you get up, God, I'm listening, you're speaking. Come on, when you speak, I'm listening. and I thank you for teaching me how to hear clearer and clearer and clearer. Hindrances to, you know, this whole situation that we're talking about tonight. Hindrances, number two, we're overwhelmed by clutter. Let me say this again. Am I qualified? Yes, you are. We just proved that. We're overwhelmed by clutter. Say clutter. I mean, those things that clutter your life, man. I mean, you know, when your phone, come on, today I'm trying to paint, and I'm working, and I'm doing trim, and we got a time frame. We're trying to get things done, and I'm working with my dad. And this is just the season I'm in right now, and I'm excited about it because I get to fellowship with a wonderful man of God every single day, and it's just awesome. You know how awesome it is to work in an environment? Now, not everybody has that environment. I've had some crummy environments to work in, but I still put my hat on for the day. Come on, I said, Jesus is Lord, regardless of the environment, and I went into work. I mean, you know, I'm rewarded right now with a great season, and I listen in these conversations. Listen. And when I get around my father, he says, man, some days you're just cluttered. And it kind of agitates me when somebody, is it kind of frustrating when somebody close to you, because you think, well, they're just picking on me, man. They're always got things to say. They're always trying to tell me about adjustments. I mean, you know, God speaks through other believers. Come on, that's a handheld, woo! So my dad is not just my father. He's a spiritual father. He's a father in the faith, a man I admire and respect. Come on, somebody. And so there's times over the years we've worked together, he's like, dude, you got clutter. See, hearing God in a cluttered world, what do you mean? Sometimes our life can look and feel like this photo. What are you talking about? Look at all that clutter! Isn't that just that right there just drives me nuts. It because I've had times in my life like where my house has looked like this, and I have no place to put it. And then you can't throw everything away because there's some things that have great value. So you're trying to figure it out, right? See, how do we find God's voice in this mess right here? Come on, what are we talking about? Overwhelmed by clutter. So often we become a numb to what? The noise. Or addicted to chaos. We get numb to noise, so we disappear. God's like, hey, I'm speaking. And you're like, man, I got clutter. What do we got? The TV is on, right? The kids are screaming. I'm private messaging on Facebook. Talk radio is playing. People are always talking at once. Listen, texts coming in are dinging. That's my dad. He's like, man, we gonna work today. There's some days where I'm like on my phone a lot, and it's not a bad thing. Some things need to be answered. I mean, you know, when phone calls can be a good thing sometimes, especially when you're doing real estate or you're selling things, you're waiting for that phone call. Amen. But I'm not saying all these things are bad, but they can be forms of clutter. Listen, texting are coming in and you're dinging. Someone just loved your photo on Instagram and you get that response. Phone calls, emails, even when our favorite worship song is on. Anybody ever had a favorite worship song? Come on, this is how I, what were we just saying? This is how I fight my battle. So how do we declutter? Come on, how do we declutter? To hear, what are we talking about? God's voice. Because we're in this series. You can go back to the archives on destinychurch.com, or you can go into Destiny Church, WNC on Facebook, look at the archives. Listen, they're really good messages. Listen, we got to first choose solitude over people. Say that with me, say solitude. Shout that word, say solitude. Come on, for some of us, we like busy. So you got to choose solitude over what? People. Say the word no. Sometimes you need to say no. Even though it's good, man, I've been trying to get up with you, right, David? Man, we've been trying to get up for months, and it's like, man, no. I know in my heart. This is not that I'm saying you're clutter. You'd be like, bro, you calling me clutter? I'm not calling you clutter. But sometimes we need to get solitude over people. Amen. So we're going to do lunch on such and such. What do? You schedule it and plan it, and then it becomes an event. Amen. And so in Luke 5:16, it says this. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for what? Prayer. So who's our example, guys? Jesus. Did he withdraw? Yes, he did. Jesus walked beside the sea. He went to the mountains to pray. And in Mark 1:35, long before daybreak, Jesus set out to a solitary place to pray. There is something that we can look to as our example. His name is Jesus. Come on. And so what are you talking about? Well, for me, solitude is my car time. Anybody have a car time? You got travel time? Come on. How many of you know you can find solitude in your car time? You could turn the news off, you turn the radio off, come on, just you and God. And for me, for a lot of years, the awkwardness of silence was weird sometimes. Because for years, even before I met Rachel, I'd always have music going. I'd get in my car, I'm not a morning person. So noise kind of helped me, you feel me? So I'm not a morning person. I'm fine with that. I'm a night person. Amen. Any night people up in here? Any like night people? Come on, somebody. Amen. So, number one, choose solitude over people. Number two, pursue a quiet place. Listen, in your car. For some people, silence is golden. Listen, silence to some people, come on, guys, it's intimidating. Silence for some is intimidating. You're like, I don't want silence, bro. It's intimidating. We need to ask ourselves, listen, what are we afraid of in our solitude? Psalm 46:10 says what? Be still and know that I am who? Come on, talk to me. I am God. The message says, step out of traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics, above everything. Isn't that awesome statement? Oh, man. I'm sitting there staring at the scripture, and I'm like, I think about my day to day. Step out of traffic. Come on, step into some solitude. Amen. Psalms 4:4 says this. It says, tremble in awe before the Lord and do not sin against him. Be still upon your bed and search for your heart before him. Listen, pause in his presence. I mean, you know, we practice this in our church and our worship and our time with God. There's times where the Lord leads me, and I've learned this. He's trying to teach us, hey, I'm here, right? And I want you to pause. And I want you to think about how good I am. Listen, Psalm 62:5-6. Let all that I am, listen, wait quietly before the Lord, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I will not be shaken. Isn't that powerful? So we bask in the light of God's word. Number three, we bask in the light of God's word. As I read the scriptures, his will and direction becomes clear. Well, I don't know what to do with this house. I don't know what to do with this car. I don't know what to do with this phone. Come on, I'm talking to the Lord right now. I'm like, Lord, I need this. I'm not going to name it because I don't want you to go out and do it for me. But I said, Lord, I'm looking online for a specific thing that I want to do for my wife. I want to give her an upgrade. And so I'm asking for wisdom. So I do all the natural, practical things, right? I call people. I talk to people. I find out what things are priced and listed for. I do my side of it, right? And then I put it before the Lord, and I said, Lord, which direction do you want me to go? And in that solitude, in that time, in that pursuit of quiet, he begins to speak, and he always leads me to the word and reminds me of what he said. Amen. Isn't that what Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, right, Theo? He's going to come. He's going to remind you of what? All things I said unto you. Amen. So bask in the light of the word. Listen, as I read the scriptures, his will and direction becomes more clear, and then what? Come on. Boop. The light comes on. And you're just like, right, David? You're just like, uh-huh. Man, I've been trying to figure this thing out. I'm pursuing solitude. I'm in the word of God. He's speaking to me. I'm doing what Jesus said to do. Come on, I need him to talk to me. Voices, come on. Hindrances to our hearing. So number three, I want to say this. Hindrances to our hearing, contamination. Clouds our reception. I want you to skip Psalm 119, 105. Just read that for your sake and for text. Number three, hindrances. Contamination clouds our reception. Sin and the contamination of this world, listen, it will hinder your receptivity. Amen. There's a reason why God said, listen, come on, be angry and what? Sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Listen, you're going to get angry and upset and life's going to happen, but don't, come on, get this thing fixed quick. Do you hear what I'm saying? Amen. Contamination clouds our reception. We become so tuned into the world. Listen, can we be so tuned into something? Your television show, your favorite series, your new dog, whatever it is in the world that you live in. I used to binge on Netflix. And does anybody remember the series Longmire? Now, you'd be like, man, I don't know about that series. Well, I like Longmire, and I would fast forward a couple parts, but it was good. It was like detective show. And there's other shows like cartoons, even Disney. I would like Disney stuff, you know what I'm saying? Me and my kids would sit down, we watch some Disney together. So what are you saying? Well, here's the thing. There's times where I just want to tune out. You ever heard people say that, I just want to tune out. You want to get in your PJs, you want to tune out. There's nothing wrong with rest. But how many of you know when you stay in that constant state that you can become so tuned into that show that God's speaking and it's the show is on? Come on. And you're like, it's that time, I'm into my show, and God's like, I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you. And you're like, this ain't, you just in your mind, you're like, this ain't a good time. My favorite show is on. And I know you say this is crazy, but I know how strong-willed I am as a person. And so there's times in my heart where I'm like, kids, we're going to have to pause. And we'll pick this up at a later time. My daddy needs to go do something. And then I'll get away for a few minutes, and it usually don't take that long. And I'll get away, quiet solitude, and God begins to speak. What am I doing? Hindrances, removing them. Because I want to hear from heaven. Some of us have been sitting for weeks, months, and years trying to get something done and get something moved. And it's in this solitude and in this place right here that I'm talking about is where you're going to get your answer. And you got to remove the busyness. Listen, contamination clouds our reception. When we become so tuned into the world, we miss hearing from God. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so, does anybody know how bad are your cables? How many of you know when you got a battery in your car, they can become corroded? Has anybody ever seen that little white pasty stuff around your battery terminals in your vehicle, your SUV? Hey, you ever seen that? How many of you know that clouds, come on, it can hinder the vehicle, if not fixed over time, can hinder the vehicle from properly functioning. Amen. And so there is plenty of power, listen, in the battery. It's that the line from the battery to the starter is corroded and it impedes the flow of power. The battery has the power. Do you see this? But the line from the battery to the starter is corroded and therefore impedes the flow of power. It isn't like we lack power as Christians, but there are hindrances that will keep you from flowing in power. That's a big statement. Man, I'm chewing on that one right there. Because I see some things in my own life as I teach this message. How many of you know when you're meditating on this thing, it's good to go back and listen? Amen. How many of you know sin is the corrosion? What are you saying? Sin is the corrosion that hinders our communication with God. Amen. And so James 3, 5, 15 and 16 says this. James 3, 15 and 16. We're wrapping up here in a minute. Says this on this wonderful midweek Wednesday night. It says, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unscriptural, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder or confusion. Say confusion. And every evil kind of work. So other translations says, you know, where jealousy and selfishness and you know, these things are, you know, selfish ambition are present. It says, so other translations say confusion and every other evil work is there. Amen. And so when the voices of sin, listen, when the voices of sin dominate our time, think about this. Our focus, our attention, our heart and soul, they drown out the still small voice of God. And that's why it's important. God's given us, he'll even warn us when we're going down a direction that it's be like, man, this ain't good. A relationship. Come on, an investment transaction. You know, some of us are always, you know, talking about, you know, salvation and witnessing to people. How many know there's times where you need to witness to somebody and you need to move on? That's not a relationship that you're supposed to be in. And so it turns into a sexual relationship because God never told you to be. He called you to be salt and light and to be a witness. And so you've invited somebody into your home through friendship and it ends up turning sexual. You say, what's the big deal of this message today? This is what I'm talking about. Because God will warn you to say, hey, this is a path that doesn't need to be walked. This is a relationship that doesn't need to exist in your life. You hear what I'm saying? But it started out with a good thing. Yeah, and it ended in the flesh because both people yielded to the flesh. Thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. Do you hear where something that is so good that God's like, hey, encourage that person today, turn sexual. You said, you just jumped off the deep end, Pastor. No, I'm talking about sin and how easy a thought, an idea, and a suggestion, just like it came to Matthew 4 to Jesus, can come to you. Amen. Because thoughts, come on, they come to you like birds flying around your head. But my spiritual father and mentor says it like this. birds, thoughts, ideas, and suggestions can fly around your head, but they don't have to come and make a nest. They don't have to land. And it's not sin when these thoughts are coming. It's sin when you grab the thought, you act upon it. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's when it becomes sin and disobedience. Amen. And so thoughts are going to come. Listen, we serve sin in eviction notice. We get it out of our life. Say, serve sin in eviction notice. Say that with me. Serve sin of an eviction notice. When it wants to show up and tempt you and talk to you, no matter how good looking or pretty it is, you serve that thing a notice and you get it out of your mind. You get it out of your thought life. You get it out of your house. You serve that thing an eviction notice. God's not moving for me. I just don't understand. Well, there's clutter, no solitude, no time in the Word, and you're not listening to the warning and the promptings of the Holy Spirit. So now that there's disobedience because God is speaking to you, you're not hearing Him. The disobedience is when you, come on, grab sin, you put on the hat, and you wear it for a while. God said, hey, whoa. Come on, somebody. See, I'm talking about how you could take something good and the devil will try to pervert it, man. I'm talking about a relationship that needs to stay friendship. Maybe you don't even need to be marrying or dating one another. Maybe you just need to be friends. Come on, right now I'm meddling in single people's worlds because I'm around a lot of young people right now that I'm talking to. And we got all this relationship and dating, and it's not dating to be married. It's dating to be sexual. It's dating to be touchy and emotional, and you're a Christian, and God's saying, that's not what I called to do in your single walk. Do you hear what I'm saying? You're like, man, you just went there. Yeah, I just went there because I've experienced this in my home. Listen, what is the antidote? What are you talking about? Sin is the corrosion that hinders our communication with God. Listen, there's things we got to do. We need to hear from heaven. Amen. And so the antidote is serving sin and eviction notice. Let me say it again. Say antidote. The antidote is saying bye-bye. Wave. Everybody online, just in person, just wave. Come on, by faith, just wave that thing out of your life. See, I'm waving this out of my life. Bye, devil. Come on, you're not tempting me today. This is not coming in my house. This is not coming in my mind. Come on, I'm not meditating on this. Come on, when the devil tells you, you get it. Well, I know you start your business, but we got corona and things happening. Your business is just going to fail because everybody else's business. Serve that thought in eviction notes, and you tell that thing, get it out. Come on, it's not sin until it's acted upon, but thoughts come. And I know I'm talking about sin, but I'm going to talk about the flip side of this, is it doesn't always have to move into sin. You could just grab the thought, bring it in captivity to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Arrest that thing and say, you thought, idea, suggestion, come on, I'm filtering this through the Word of God. This is not turning into sin. I put you on warning, devil. Does anybody resonate with it? I'm 41 years old. I've had to deal with this every day of my life. Come on, thoughts come, thoughts go. But I just learned how deceptive and subtle my adversary is. And he isn't a red pitchfork. He's a subtle suggestion that says, hey, baby, stare at that. And you just go, can't do that. Christ in me, I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. My life has been bought with a price, with the precious blood of Jesus. I can't entertain that no more. Do you just serve it a notice? How many know that is a voice that is a hindrance to you hearing from heaven? Listen. So we serve sin and eviction notice. We set our attention on Christ, and we live a life that honors God. For note's sake, write down Romans 8:5. Matter of fact, let me just read it. We set our attention on Christ. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. This is the importance of mind renewal. That those who are dominated by sinful nature think about. That's your mind, will, and emotions. That's your soul. You're meditating too long in an area that God, the Holy Ghost, is going, this is a hindrance. You got to get this out. Come on, we got to talk about it. So we set our attention on Christ. Listen, we live a life that honors God. We choose to walk in holiness and purity with God. That's a choice. You don't have to walk there. I choose. You have free will. God empowers you. Come on, He's in you. He'll give you the strength. Come on. Sexual cravings are real. Come on, your needs ain't getting met at home and you're a married couple. How many of you know the enemy will tempt you to look elsewhere? Come on, husbands and wives, I'm going to speak very frank to you. You need to go home. You need to get in the bed. You need to have the best sex you ever had in your life. If you're born again, you're born of God. Come on, God bless that marriage. It's a marriage union. Do you hear what I'm saying? Come on, you need to have some of the best sex you ever had. And you need to be intimate. And then you need to not have moments where it's just all about sex. You need to hold her hand and hold his hand. And you need to talk to one another and have intimacy. Come on, non-sexual affectionate touch. Where men, it's like we touch, we want to go right to the bed. And anyway, we'll get in this in our series coming up in Marriage on the Rock. We're going to hit this year. But how many of you know this? Come on, when you're taking care of husbands and wives, you're taking care of one another at home, listen, it's a powerful thing. God wants you to be intoxicated with your spouse. Come on, you marry. He wants you to be intoxicated with your spouse, husbands and wives. Why are we intoxicated with other people and other things when we're married? It's because clutter has entered our mind. It's become a hindrance to our life. We're not renewing. Come on, when you're feeling those loving feelings, you lost that loving feeling. Now it's gone, gone, gone. Oh, oh, come on. Do you hear what I'm saying? I've been married 15 years. How many of you know it moves marriage? It moves past love and feelings sometimes. It's called commitment. It ain't all about touchy-feely all the time. But how many of you know there's times in my life I'm being transparent because I am married, and I'm not picking on married people. This is just what's in my spirit concerning this. You know, we live a life that honors God. When I'm not with my wife, I'm not looking at things. Come on, I'm tempted to be in places with my eyes, my mind, my heart, that I ain't supposed to be when my wife is not there. In 15 years, I've been tempted. There's not one man, woman, or child that in this generation, particularly living right now, you've not had thoughts come to your head that are sexual and impure. That is the devil. Listen, he don't care that you're a child of God. He don't care that you're married. He doesn't care you have covenant with God. His desire is for you to corrupt communication. Come on, get things meditated on, get you in a direction you ain't even supposed to be living in. Why? To corrupt communication between you and heaven. Woo! I know that's a hot button, but that's where people are living. If we can't even have these conversations in the church, how much more people that are in the world be like, man, I got addiction to things and I need to overcome. I don't know how. And you'd be like, listen, I know how to do that. Come on, I've experienced some of those things. I could teach you how to overcome. And then there's times where you've not lived or experienced any of that, but because you know your covenant and what the word says, that you could still, come on, I don't have to do drugs and overcome to help, come on, declutter somebody's life of drugs and alcohol. I've never done drugs and alcohol my whole life. But there are people that have, that God has powerfully used. But how many of you know God can still powerfully use me? Amen. And so we live a life that honors God. Psalm 119, 9 in the message. This is so good. How can a young person live a clean life? By carefully reading the map of your world. I'm single-minded in pursuit of you. Don't let me miss the road signs you've posted. I've banked your promises in the vault of my heart, so I won't sin myself bankrupt. Come on, somebody. Isn't that good? Because I've sinned. Listen, I've lived a life where I have sinned myself bankrupt. Come on. I've been here, but I know what this looks like. I've been here in my own life. I could testify for hours. That's why I like being on the other side of this thing where I'm removing the clutter. Listen. We serve sin and eviction notice. We set our attention on Christ, and we live a life that honors God. Listen, the closer we walk with God, the easier it is to hear him. The closer it is, come on, my wife is back here. Rachel, you can hear me, right? Come on up here. I want you to, I'm going to keep talking to you as you're walking up. This is my beautiful bride. You know her in this house. Some of you watching online, you may not know her, but you're going to be introduced to my wife, Rachel. Amen. And I'm talking to her so she can hear me. But how many of you know she comes closer and closer and closer and closer and closer? Listen, I don't need no microphone. It's as she comes closer and closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. Come on. This is the relationship with your Father. He doesn't want you at a distance. He wants you close to him. He wants you to be able to say, hey, how are you? And he wants to look into your eyes and say, hey, you're my son and my daughter, and I love you. And I know this hurts right now, this season of your life, but I can help you overcome this. Would you let me? Come on, God's saying, would you let me step into your world and heal you and help you? Come on, it's yes, you can go ahead. Thank you. It's going to be, listen, come on, church, it's going to be a process. But God said, if you let me enter in your process, I can help you. Come on, how many of you know that's a life that honors God? Romans 13, 12 and 14 says, the night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Listen, when God is exposing things in our life, we got to remove the clutter. We got to get the sin out. How many of you know we're always talking about sex, drugs, and rock and roll? And listen, how about just a bad attitude? How about how we talk to people when they're not around? How we talk about people when they're not in your presence? Because I've really sucked in my young life. I was terrible at this. And to the Lord began to reveal to me through the word. He said, the way you remove clutter out of your life is removing the sin out of your life. And this is a life that honors me. Quit talking about people the way that you do. Anybody ever heard that before? Or am I the only one in my life that said, you got to quit talking that way? Come on, God spoke to me. He said, you got to quit talking. 15 years of marriage, he said, you got to quit talking to your wife that way. I said, Lord, I'm not. He said, you're rough sometimes, dude. And I cried like a baby earlier because my wife's like, she's like, you're smooth, boy, but when you get riled, man, you get rough. And I said, I know how to do warfare. The problem is when that warfare is not in the love of God, it's in the war of words, and you're over in the flesh, and you're strategically breaking people down with your tongue. And I was doing that. I wasn't fist fighting, man. I could strategically break a person down, not with muscle, but with words. And God said, that is not acceptable to me. Stop doing that. I mean, you know, that was the sin that was in my life that I kept ignoring the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And he said, son, this is clutter in your life. And if you want to be long-lasting in your marriage, you're going to have to remove the clutter. And I said, Lord, this hurts. And how many of you know he helped me? Listen, God didn't just tell me, because in solitude, he said, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you break this. Listen. Verse 13 says this. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in darkness of wild parties and drunkenness or in sexual promiscuity or immoral living or in quarreling or in jealousy. Verse 14, instead, this is where the Lord was dealing with me. Instead, clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and do not let yourself think about the ways to indulge your evil desires. See, our conscience becomes seared when we don't listen to God. 1 Timothy 4, in closing, right here. 1 Timothy 4 says this. Powerful statement. It says, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times, are we living in latter times right now? Come on, are we living here right now? The Spirit clearly says in latter times, some will abandon. Say abandon. Do you see anybody abandoning Christ, abandoning the church, walking away from God? I do, by the droves. And it, to me as a pastor, it has nothing to do with attendance. Come on, I'm not talking about church attendance. I'm talking about heart issues, people stepping away from God. Amen? It's happening right now. In latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow, listen, deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Do demons speak? Come on, Timothy's going, hey. Paul says, Timothy, yo, hey guys. Deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such things come through, listen, hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared with a hot iron. Think about that. Isn't that crazy? So what is the voice of our conscience? It's an inner voice that judges our behavior. What is the voice of our conscience? It's the voice of our own spirit or inner man. What is the voice of our conscience? It helps us to decipher between right or wrong. Say decipher. It helps you decipher right and wrong. What is the voice of our conscience? Our conscience makes us responsible for our actions. That's why as a child of God, in 15 years of marriage, I said, I'll go to Rachel. And I put my hand on my head because that's what I do. And I said, Rach, you're going to have to forgive me. I completely misspoke. And I asked you to forgive me. Babe, is this not true? Come on, she's in the building. I completely misspoke. Come on. And I was in the, I got angry. I was really angry about this situation. And I'll tell you, can I just tell you straight? I don't know why I'm hitting this thing on marriage, but it's just the direction that I'm going. But I just feel like in my heart, I'm like, even I'm right. Has anybody ever felt like you were right? Come on, I'm not the only one. You had those conversations, whether you're single or married. You're like, I'm right in this conversation. I know that I am. I spent all week strategically putting this thing together to present it, and I know that I'm right. And in your heart goes, yeah, your information is correct, but the way you presented it is out of love, and so it wipes the whole thing because this whole conversation is irrelevant right now according to Scripture. Woo! And God spoke to me and said, this is why you've misspoke. You are right in your information. You're wrong in your delivery. Come on, somebody. And I'm like, boy, that's hot. That's a nuclear bomb right there on my heart. And God just said, boom. And I said, ooh, that hurts. And he's like, yeah, your delivery a lot of times is off. You need to fix that. And so I'm like, what am I doing? I'm hearing the right voice, right? What are we talking about? Voices, removing the clutter. And so when you obey God, you're removing the clutter. Listen, remember when kids actually played outside? Anybody remember this before Nintendo and PlayStation? You remember when kids, come on, the older generation in here before Nintendo and cell phones? Wave at me where you were born before cell phones came in. Nintendo, Atari, any of that. Okay, so kids actually went outside. In the first of summer, how tender were your feet when we used to go outside and play without shoes on? Anybody remember this? Come on, my parents couldn't keep me in a pair of tennis shoes. And everybody, my family watching online, they'll probably watch this later and laugh. And give me some laughter emojis. I love those. But I'm going to tell you right now, man, you couldn't get me in a pair of tennis shoes. And I'm going to tell you, I remember how tender my feet used to be. Here's what I remember. When school was out and by the end of the summer, do you remember how we used to go through and step on glass? Come on. Your feet were so calloused and so hard from the beginning of summer after school to the end of summer that you're just like, man, you can walk on hot coal that your feet were so tough. Some of you are going, I don't know what you're talking about. I could tell you all about that. Go, you're out in Florida around an oak tree not wearing shoes and you're running through the field and you step in briars. You know what briars are? Those little sticky things? Come on, they get to where you're like, ouch, ouch. And by the end of summer, you're just like running through them and digging them out of your foot. You're like Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn where you're just like, this ain't nothing. No, you got your jeans rolled up. So Romans 2:14 and 15 says, even Gentiles who do not have God's written law show that they know his law when they instinctively obey it, even without having heard it. They demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts for their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them or tell them they are doing right. Do you see the parallel here? Having a seared callous, come on, a seared conscience. God's speaking to us. Acts 23:1 says this. Gazing intently at the high council, Paul began. He said, brothers, I have always lived before God with a what? Clear conscience. The phrase seared with a hot iron was translated from one Greek word. Grab this. And that Greek word means to brand or to cauterize, by implication, to render unsensitive. Grab that statement. To brand or to cauterize, to render unsensitive. So this is describing the procedure of taking a hot iron, right, and touching it to flesh to seal a wound to stop bleeding. Amen. And in the process, listen, the nerves are destroyed. The nerves are destroyed. Listen, and all feeling is lost. These people who were being influenced by the seducing spirit started out with little lies. Say little lies. Started out with little lies and hypocrisies that their consciousness convicted them of. I mean, you know, God was speaking to them. Their conscience was saying, this isn't right. So now they are no longer convicted of wrong. You see this? For whatever reason, they persisted against, say against, they persisted against the direction of their consciousness. And every time they did, their consciousness had a little less impact. Say less impact. I've been here, man. Less impact and less impact, making it easier to repeat the offense and to go further even next time. Next time, you take it even further. Do you see this? So eventually, it became as if they had no conscience, They could lie without feeling any conviction. Can I tell you, before Christ, I was here. Boy, I could lie my pants off without conviction. Now I can't do that. So from a seared to a sensitive consciousness, this is what God helped me through. From being callous, from being seared. Listen, we need to ask God to renew our conscience. For the sake of time, Psalms 51, 10 through 2. Write that down. Listen, we need to go back to our salvation experience. Some of us need to revisit. Listen, we need to obey the voice of our conscience. So ask God to renew our conscience. We need to obey the voice of our conscience. Listen, every time we would neglect our conscience, we build a layer of callousness. We're building a layer of hard skin, hard feet, callousness by not listening. Listen, and this is causing clutter. And we're like, God, why are you not? God's speaking. But we can become calloused. And the goal here is to hear him, not to be seared, not to be callous, not to be hard. Listen, we need to be quick to repent when we miss it. Can I just say that again? We need to be quick to repent when we miss it. We need to, Lord, I missed it big time. Come on, whatever it is in life, we need to be quick to repent when we miss it. Listen, our spirit, our conscience is knit with the Holy Spirit. So we need to obey the voice of our conscience. Romans 9:1 says, with Christ as my witness, I speak with utter truthfulness. My conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm it. And third, we need to keep our conscience captive to the word of God. Say captive. Shout that word. Come on, some of us, let me go back to my relationship with my wife. When I walked into Rhema Bible Training College, my third year, and I saw my wife, she took me captive. It wasn't like, hey. It was like, whoa. Come on, how many of you know when you're captivated with your favorite TV show? Like my favorite TV show, and you sit down in your PJs, you're like, this is where I'm going. When you stop talking, if you just quit talking, Pastor, I'm going to my PJs, and I'm going to get on my favorite show. Amen. Do you hear what I'm saying? We keep our conscience captive to the Word of God. When Martin Luther, anybody ever heard of Martin Luther? Come on, Martin Luther, go study his life. Do a quick Google search on Martin Luther. Martin Luther was summoned to the Diet of Worms in 1521. What it was the Diet of Worms? It was a decree from the emperor. For you historians, go study this out. I can't hit all of this, it'll take too long. But they would examine him, Martin Luther, for heresy. They would examine him for heresy, which if convicted then, he would likely be burned at the stake. Come on, in this age, in the 1521. So he was asked to recant his teaching. Martin Luther, recant your teaching. And this is how he replied. Listen to this. This is powerful. He replied, unless I am convinced by scripture and plain reason, my conscience is captive to the work of God, to the word of God. My conscience is captive. It's captivated to the word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything. Isn't that powerful? I cannot and will not recant anything. For to go against my conscience would be neither right nor safe. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Martin Luther. Come on, somebody. This survey was compiled by the Discipleship Journal. Respondents gave two reasons why they so easily went against their conscience and fell into sin. This is compiled by the Discipleship Journal. Respondents gave two reasons why they so easily went against their conscience and fell into sin. If you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, they have neglected their time with God. I have been here. Neglected their time with God. Number two, they were physically tired. Number one, neglected their time with God. Number two, they were physically tired. Listen, opposite keeps us from following our conscience. Listen, when we are tired, you need to put on rest. Say rest. You need to value your time in the Word and with God. But you need to value your sleep. You need to value your rest. Come on, somebody. How do we remove the clutter out of our life? By listening and yielding, come on, to the right voice. Amen. Everybody stand with me. Hallelujah. I'm excited about what the Lord had to say tonight and what the word of God that was brought forth. Listen, as we go, I want to leave you with this. Those that are watching online, those that are in person. What is your conscience telling you right now? Right now, in this moment. Come on, what is your conscience telling you right now? Are you right with God? Are you at peace? Or is it saying, listen, changes need to be made. Pastor, I need to make some changes right now. Come on, right now, whether you're online or in this room, come on, whether you're born again or you have no relationship with God, listen, you could change that right now. And I want to let you know, if you're watching online, it doesn't, you know, Jesus said he wants you to come as you are. He didn't say, I need you to fix all these things. Come on. Christ didn't say, you know, here's why I'm dying for you. You get fixed up first. You do all these works first. No, you come right now as you are. Right now as you are. In this room, all of us here are believers. What is God saying to you? What is your conscience telling you? Respond. And I say again, those that are watching online, listen. Jesus Christ died for you. He rose from the dead for you, and he came to give you life and life in abundance. Listen, eternal life. There is much living that we're going to do when we leave this earth, come on, and step into the realm of eternity. Come on, somebody. When we get into heaven, it's not like we're just going to stop living. There is going to be much work still to do. Amen. So if you want to pray that prayer tonight, you say, man, my conscience, I just feel in my heart, I need to get back into fellowship with Christ. Or maybe you're hearing for the first time and you're tuning in. You say, man, I've never heard of this message or the person of Christ, but I just thought I'd tune in. Come on, we want to pray with you. And you've never prayed that prayer of salvation and you're online, leave a comment in the field and let us know that you say, hey, man, I'm ready to pray. I'm ready to receive. But we want to pray this quick prayer with you. The Bible says this, that he says, you know, when you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is raised from the dead. The Bible says when you believe that and you confess that, you will be saved. Amen. And God said those who come unto him, he would no wise cast out. You're not joining a church, a religion, or come on, you're coming into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want everybody in this room, because I know everybody in this room is born again. I know you. But for those that are watching online, you're praying this prayer for the first time, just pray with me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your son, Jesus. I believe that he is the Son of God. I believe that he rose from the dead. I believe in my heart, and I confess boldly with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Today, I receive him. He is now my Lord. He is now my Savior. Lord, fill me, heal me, cleanse me, deliver me. I thank you, Lord. Today, I am your child, and I'm filled with new life today. In Jesus' name. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, something like that, we believe you were born again. And every Sunday at 10 a.m. here at Destiny Church, we have church service online by 10:30 a.m. or in person at 10 a.m. But we do have this thing called Gather, which we like to get together before church. And at 9:30, we would love to see you, meet you, greet you. We invite you to come Sunday at 10, online at 10:30, Wednesday at 7 p.m. Listen, we love you. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in tonight. You are dismissed. Amen. Hallelujah. Those of you that are online, in this room, how many of you know we're upping our camera and our technical capabilities so we don't have to keep doing tripod? We're going to go online here real soon. We have equipment that is coming to us as a church. We're getting ready to mount cameras, and we're going to go live the whole service so people can hear worship and have an experience. How cool is it when you invite somebody to the church, they can actually see the whole service and what you're doing? I mean, you know, you say, well, that's crazy. That means people are going to see us prophesying. People are going to see us stepping out. and the gifts of the Spirit and demonstrating Christ. The generation that I live in and you live in, they need to experience the authenticity of Christian living.
Amen.
They need to see that people in the church aren't perfect, but they are perfected in Christ. Come on, in yourself and myself, I can do nothing, but in Him, I can do anything. See, this is the connection that we have. People say, are you perfect? Not in my own flesh and ability, but I'm perfected in Christ Jesus because the Bible says that I am. So I'm not always staring at everything that I did wrong, sin consciousness. I'm looking at righteousness consciousness. It's everything that Jesus did and did right that's in me, and He lives in me, and He wants to be demonstrated through me and through you. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, somebody. So tonight, I want to send you out. David, if you would put the offering receptacles up, one on the left and the right. If you have an offering and you want to give, you know what to do. Amen. You know our marriage conference is coming up. Listen, you say, I don't know what to expect. If you can make it part of the sessions, it'll be good. If you can only make it to one session, it'll be good for you. Amen. But I want to say this tonight with conviction. And I want to send you out of here blessed. Listen. The Lord is good. Come on, let's say this together. Say, for the Lord is good.
For the Lord is good.
Come on, believe that. And His mercy endures forever in my life. Come on, let's say it again. For the Lord is good. And His mercy endures forever in my life. Say it again. For the Lord is good. Come on, and His mercy endures forever. Some of you came in, you started this. You say, man, I needed prayer. Listen, there's times when we need it. There's times where you don't need prayer. You need to step in to your biblical authority and get in His presence, just like we're doing right now, and say, Lord, come on, I had pain in my shoulder. I slept in a bed in Colorado with Andrew. I was in a bunk bed. He was in this other room in a king-size bed, and it's the way I slept. Come on, I slept. Does anybody sleep like curled up like this on your chest? I do. So I went to a chiropractor one time. He said, that's like the worst way you could sleep. You need to sleep on your back so your skeletal, your body can just relax. So I stretched. I woke up, and I woke up in Colorado in pain, and I had this pain, skied all day in my shoulder. And I'm like, Lord, I believe I know what I did. It wasn't like a major injury, But while I'm sitting here, I've been painting all day and rolling with my right arm, And I'm teaching the word, I begin to sense a change in my right shoulder. Come on. While I'm teaching the word. God is no respecter of persons. Come on. He sent His word and healed them of all sickness and disease. It's the word receives. Listen, how you receive the word determines your faith. How you receive the word, not just hearing it, how do you receive that word? And I'm teaching the word. I'm like, Lord, I'm preaching this. I'm receiving it for myself. And while I'm teaching it, I'm remembering the things that God delivered me from. And I grew up. Come on. Amen. And while I'm doing that healing, this begins to happen. I begin to notice the pain in my shoulders is gone. And that's why I'm ending this. I'm like, Lord, You are good. I was going to call on some of you just to join hands with me and pray over it. But the Lord's like, I got this. Come on, what has He got for you right now? He said, man, I needed prayer. I got serious things going on. And the way that you received the word tonight, come on, your faith says, God, I got it, me and you. Healing is the children's bread. Come on, in my soul, in my body, in my money, in my peace. Come on. Come on, healing belongs to me, even in my peace. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, do I give. Come on, Jesus said, my peace do I give to you. Come on, so I just declare that over you tonight, that when you lay your head down, as Proverbs says, you will have sweet sleep. Come on, I speak that over you. Some of you, you haven't slept. Your mind has been going 100 miles an hour. Let me say it again. I declare over you sweet sleep. Come on, when God's speaking to you tonight and in your heart, your inner man, your conscience is telling you, turn that off. Let's just go to bed. Your mind's going, how are we going to pay that? Listen to the Holy Ghost. Get your rest. Remember what we just wrapped with? You need to get your rest. Come on, get your rest. Amen. So I decree that and declare of you, you will have sweet sleep in Jesus' name. Listen, you are dismissed. You have an offering, bring it up. We will see you this Sunday at 10 a.m. Listen, be a bringer. And we're going to tear the roof off this place Sunday. Thank you for coming tonight. We love you. God bless you. You are dismissed.